Now, there were those that suggested I was skiving off last weekend when I went with the walking group from Putney to the Wiltshire-Oxfordshire border. But as I pointed out to Charlie, their moral welfare was at risk. You know, who knows what 24 pensioners might get up to in Wiltshire of a weekend. So it was entirely selfless that I accompanied them to this luxury hotel with a sauna, swimming pool, excellent food, and hot and cold running wine. It was... I have to be with my people. So we had a great time, and I didn't actually skive because we went to not one, but two religious ceremonies. On the Sunday morning, we got out of bed and went to the local village church. And they were just horrified when, sort of about 7 minutes, walked through the door, instantly multiplying the congregation. And they panicked a bit. But it was a very nice service, but it was the 1662 prayer book, so it was quite sort of wordy. And then we went and had a very nice breakfast. And then later in the day, we went to Avebury, where we got invited to attend a very different sort of religious celebration. One of our party, the walking people, were off up on a drafty hill somewhere, but I felt it my duty to stay and eat scones and drink tea with the people that were not walking. And we bumped into a very nice woman with a child in a backpack, and she said that her child was having a naming ceremony up in the stone circle on Avebury Ring, I think it's called. But anyway, so we thought we would go and nosy along. So we duly went up to this great stone circle on this dramatic plain, and there was a bunch of people who looked like extras from the Harry Potter film. I have nothing against pink hair. I want to say it now. Nothing against pink hair. But there was lots of draperies, and there seemed to be an important emphasis on capes. Capes are back amongst the pagans of Wiltshire this year. Lots of embroidered caps. It was all very, very exciting. So we started off the ceremony. Now, of course, because it's not very natural, they didn't have microphones, so we couldn't hear most of what was going on. And there was a very small American lady wearing layers and layers and layers and layers of clothes, so you couldn't see her underneath them, and a big floppy hat. And her voice kind of kept wafting away with the wind. And then at one point, I did catch her say, "Let us give praise to honeybee, you see. And then let us name the qualities of honeybee." And I thought, they must have called the child honeybee. Well, it could happen. I mean, what's-her-name's got a kid called Apple, so I thought maybe amongst pagans, honeybee was the name. So they went round the circle and they called out things like dancing, majesty, community, harmony. And one man who was completely out of it shouted, industrialization, and everyone went... Okay, and then when it came round to him again, he shouted for no apparent reason, Ishtoreth. But we didn't, still never found out why. But anyway, so we were mystified by this ceremony. And the woman said, "And now we are going to do the dance of the honeybee." And then she said, rather alarmingly, "Let us widen the circle to bring in those people on the back row." So I looked at Gwen and she looked at me and I said, "Stay or go." And she said, "Go, go." But anyway, as we went away, this was the dance of the honeybee. I'm not going to suggest you do it, but you might want to practice this at home. Apparently, honeybees dance figure of eight ceremony, you see. So there was this little lady doing this. And everybody was wobbling, and the guy who'd shouted out industrialization began to totter slightly, because he'd obviously had a very late night. So... Anyway, we were still mystified by why they were doing all this, but it turned out, I met her in the ladies' loos some while later, and she explained that her name was something Honey Star, and she has come from Arizona to pray for the English honeybee, which is facing extinction. So that was what she was doing at Avebury. It was nothing to do with the naming ceremony, because apparently the people for the naming ceremony had not managed to get their act together to arrive for their slot. We met them all outside the pub looking totally relaxed and everything. But it was peak Sunday last Sunday because it was the autumn solstice, which was why there were droves of oddly dressed people up at Avebury. But anyway, so I went to this lady's website. She pressed her card into my hand and she believes a very interesting variety of things none of which I'm going to knock, just in case they all come and visit us here at St Mark's. But anyway, amongst the sorts of things that they're interested in are astrology, numerology, how to predict your future by taking apart the letters of your name and adding them together and finding out what your personality type is, crystals, fairies, ley lines, and many, many more beliefs. And this wonderful, whose middle name was actually Heartstar, I'm sorry I got her name wrong, was really preaching about respect and love for nature. And that the root of the pagan religion, insofar as I understand it, is a respect for the natural world and believing that there is some kind of creative energy within each aspect of creation, so as much in an oak tree as in a honeybee. So I then went to the Pagan Links website, and it had useful advice on going for a walk. So here it is. When you first go to a tree that you've never met before, touch it very lightly. Say hello, introduce yourself and stroke the tree and show it respect and affection. Ask it what it can teach you or do for you, because every tree has its own knowledge to share. And then to thank the tree, kiss it goodbye. I couldn't possibly kiss a strange tree. It would feel so wrong, so forward, wouldn't it, really? Now, I've got no problem with people kissing trees, obviously, after the formalities of introduction have been gone through. But I do feel a little bit nervous about people frittering their money on things like fairy memorabilia or crystals. But what was really striking was that all these people were at Avebury because they had a yearning, a spiritual yearning. And there was a very genuine feeling there that nature had to be respected. And I couldn't possibly disagree with that. And it made me think whether Christian religion has in some ways, since the Reformation, got a bit too rational, a bit too scientific, a bit too urban. Perhaps we're all totally obsessed with urban activities. Perhaps we've gone too far. You may know that the medieval church had lots of rhythms associated with the changing of the seasons. You would bring the first lamb into church in February. You'd bring the first sheaf of corn in. There would be harvest. And all of those were taken out at the Reformation as being superstitious. And only in the last 100 years has harvest been reintroduced. But when we go for a walk, when we're out in nature, we see that there's something of God there, don't we? We relate to God in the sunset, in a beautiful morning, in flowers, in nature, in trees. We realise that there is something of God to be found in all those things. And in a way, we have to be careful that our religion hasn't shoved God out of creation, although we do pay lip service to it. Perhaps Christians are some way to blame for the fate of the planet at the moment. Perhaps we've gone too far. We're thinking that we can just pick and choose what we want out of the created world and let the rest rot or pollute or starve. Perhaps we've become completely detached from nature. We don't have immunity from nature. We're beginning to see that now. We're beginning to see that what we do with our motor cars has an impact upon the planet. We're beginning to see that polluting water systems will affect us. I think we're much more concerned with ourselves. Once the white Western world becomes to have things to fear from climate change, then we're going to pay attention. Once we realise that we can't cut ourselves off and live in a little urban bubble, then we're going to begin to actually do something about it. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it said God made the world, he created the world, and he saw that it was very, very good. And he loved it, and he prized it, and he treasured it. And he made us to be part of it, not to be destroyers of it. And so this harvest, we don't just give thanks for the getting in of the grain, and we're not just grateful that there'll be bread on the shelves of Sainsbury's this year. We're going to say more of that. We're going to say more than that. We're not going to be just grateful for the pretty bits of creation, the nice bits. We're going to try and say thank you for everything in creation and realise that we are profoundly intertwined with it, because God is intertwined with it and intertwined with us. Amen.
Amen.